Mr. Forbes, Reel 12. We're talking about the advance through Germany. You were saying, well, just whether any incidents or just different things you recall from that period.
Well, as I say, once we got through Winston, I think that particular stage in the war, there was very little resistance ahead of us. We just kept going. I remember one place where we shot up a train that was leaving a station full of troops, and we shot that up and blew up the engine. And I could remember seeing the personnel that were on the train all coming out and scattering over fields and taking cover. That's just one.
And your tank actually hit the train?
Yeah, we actually at the engine, fired at the engine. If I remember right, that was from an autobahn. We must have been on an autobahn at that time.
What about when you went past Belsen? Do you remember anything to do with that?
That wasn't very nice. We were told about it. We got special inoculations and everything before we went in. Anti-toxic things. We weren't allowed to hang about. We had to keep going through it. The medical services were all waiting behind to come up and deal with it.
Did you actually go in the camp or just pass by it?
We just sort of bypassed it, but at the side of the road there was a lot of very, very poor creatures along there. And you were told not to give them any food or anything because it wouldn't have been good for them, you see. But there was a lot of pathos on that particular journey. It really was a terrible place. The smell was terrible.
And just, I missed it out earlier, but there was an accident where a Comet accidentally fired its gun and Tommy Smith was killed and John Gilmore was wounded. The 10th of April. Do you remember that at all?
I don't remember that at all.
So, what's the next thing you remember? Crossing Lüneburg Heath, you...
Yeah, well, there wasn't anything really happening in the way of war, you might say, at all until we got there. But there were just prisoners all the time coming in.
What was the attitude of German prisoners then? You said they gave you
Sometimes, yeah, not them all. There were some of them were so young, they were just kids, really, 16 and that, and they were crying and they were complete fear. I think they'd been indoctrinated and the British would shoot them or something like that. They'd been told off that the women weren't going to be treated very badly, and it was a sort of, it must have been a great revelation for them when they realised they were going to be treated fairly well, you know. Sometimes we...
What was the state of them? You know, their uniform, well-fed, the rest of
them. Most of them were bedraggled, unshaven, and they probably had been days hiding or something. Most of them were like tramps, you know. But some of them were arrogant and well enough dressed. They were probably the SS men. And there was a nucleus of SS men in most of the regiments, even in the Wehrmacht. We found that they were all cowed, it was shocking to see what a proud army like the German army could be reduced to in a case of a situation like this.
So the next thing, probably the rapid advance to Lübeck along the motorway.
Yes.
What do you remember of that? Because that's quite an new...
There was sort of four or five tanks lying abreast, tearing up that road flat out. And if you happen to have a better tank than your neighbour, you've got ahead, you know.
Were you actually racing? Or?
Yeah, I think we were, because we had both hatches open and both doors open so that you could see your neighbour. And it was very thrilling, really. You really realised what that tank could do on the autobahn.
Was there any sign of any German resistance, or was it that autobahn you shot at the railway from, or is that?
It must have been, yeah. I think that was the autobahn was well built, beautiful built road, and it was elevated in certain parts. And I think we were on one of these elevated parts when we saw this steam train leaving the station. I can't tell you where it was, but it was on. I'm sure it was on the Autobahn.
And what about what happened when you got to Lübeck?
We got to Lübeck, we found that the square at the time was absolutely chock-a-block with prisoners. There must have been thousands of them there. And it was really the fact that the control commission and the people in charge of prisoners and things that had to sort them all out. I didn't envy them their job there. One thing that did happen with me was we started rummaging around the town, and we found the town hall, and in the downstairs place was like a supermarket of goods, clothing, fancy dresses and everything, and we think that had been hoarded by the SS or something. Did you think that? And we went upstairs, and I managed to get my hands on a lovely sort of embroidered Nazi flag with the swastika and everything. So I folded it up and said, I'm going to keep that. But I put it down on the side of the tank and went round to speak to somebody or something like that, and it disappeared very quickly. Don't know who took it. There was prisoners milling about as well, so it might have been one of them, I don't know. So that was more or less what happened in Lübeck. And it was amazing how quickly the prisoners were cleared off there. They marched them all off. Being army men, it was fairly easy to fall in and march away. So they were all in this. Because I remember seeing them all in this field, all sitting down, and different chaps going around taking notes and things. I don't know. That was all I remember.
And I think no more fighting. Now, B Squadron went to Eckhorst for billet. I don't know if you remember. It's just near Lübeck. And would the next thing be VE Day? What do you remember of VE Day?
VE Day, we were in this farm, miles from anywhere in the countryside. It was a very nice place, and the farmer, his wife, was a horsey person. She had some very nice hunters and show horses. It was a horsey place, and we had an old cavalry corporal Lodge. Geordie Lodge, he was a Geordie too from Newcastle, and he had been a rough rider. Have you heard of a rough rider once? He had been a rough rider in some of the cavalry regiments. So he got on got a saddle and everything from this woman, and he got a nice, almost like a racehorse, and mounted it, and he did demonstrations of what they used to do in the old days in the cavalry, all that rough riding. So he was very popular with his women.
And what about the celebrations? Any celebrations?
Celebrations were a dead loss. We just fired off all our very crystal ammunition and lit a bonfire and brought some rations up, and the cooks in the farm cooked some food for us, and it wasn't very little. We were a bit disappointed, really, that we didn't get what was promised us.
What do you mean?
To go to Copenhagen.
Can you explain about that?
Well, all I can say is that we were actually promised that we were going to get cleaned up and polish all our equipment and drive over the border into I can't remember the name of the first place that we were told we were going to. It wasn't Copenhagen, but from there we might have got a liberty to go in there.
Now, instead, you went to Bredston. That was from May onwards.
Yeah.
Now, what do you remember of your time at Bredston? Where were you billeted at Bredston?
We were billeted in a street on the sort of outskirts of the little... It was a little town, a nice little town. We were billeted in this street in big houses. Really nice houses. And of course, it was completely restricted. There was no fraternisation at that time with the... But I can remember, I've mentioned before that we had built...
Now, that was off tape. What you mentioned, could you just tell us on tape what about this social club you built and how you went about it?
Yes. Well, from the army, before DMOB, everybody was more or less given the chance to pick up where they left off in City Street and... partake in the different pursuits that would help them in this. And we, there was one or two builders, chaps who had been in the building trade, and we collected them all together. Lieutenant Wood was the education officer, and it was him that was organising it. And somebody suggested that we could do with a meeting place of some kind, but the cinema was no good. So we said, right, then we'll have a look around and we'll pick a building that we can work on. So we put this old barn, it was quite a big place, and the walls were all good, but the roof was gone. So we got joiners together, and I was one of them, although I wasn't qualified as a joiner. But we put new rafters in and a new roof on it, and worked inside, new bits of flooring, and just made it into a very nice club.
And where did you get the wood from?
From the sawmill. The sawmill had wood of all different variety of sizes and everything, and it was no bother really to cast it all. We had all the equipment necessary to do that, because in the sawmill there was masses of tools, hammers, everything.
Now, another thing you did was you started up some art classes, part of the same thing. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, there was a building at the end of the street which had been a post office or something like that. It had been a commercial establishment of some kind, so we adapted that as an art school. And this chap, Hughes, he wasn't in B Squadron, but... Lieutenant Wood found him that he wanted to do some work in art, in the art line. So him and I got together, and Lieutenant Wood took us into Pusum. The three of us went in there, and we spent quite a lot of the squadron's money on paints, pencils, and paper, and canvases and things. And we equipped this room with an art school, and it was. This Jeffy Hughes was really with it. He really was quite an expert as far as drawing, painting, and composition, and all the things that apply to art. So we had quite a few, about five or six. And actually, we had a woman came. She was in the ATS, and she came from outside Husum in a jeep and joined us, and she was very good too. She was a dress designer, and she was good.
Did you learn anything, or were you? I mean, I know you were teaching, but did you learn anything as well?
I think I did. I think I learned, different mediums and things. I picked up a lot from Hughes, because I wasn't an art student. You see, I worked in black and white mostly before. And I think Hughes and I got really together and enjoyed each other's company, and it was very pleasant.
And how good were your pupils?
Some of them were just hopeless, but you did get something from some of them. But this girl was good. Her drawings were very good. And there was another chap there from another squadron. I can't remember his name now, but he was quite good. And then there was a chap who'd been in the first year in architecture when the war started. And he was good, but his drawings were they weren't free enough, and we were trying to get them to loosen up, you know, because all these drawings were like architects' drawings.
Now, just going back on a couple of things, you know, because we've sort of jumped ahead of her. What about, there was a big mass movement of German, well, troops coming out of Denmark.
Yeah,
what do you remember of that?
I remember lining the roads just outside Bredsted when they were coming along, and we were impressed by the crowd sort of, when they came towards the town, they all came to attention, matched attention, and they were singing. Some of these marching songs that the Germans had were very good. They were very, you know, they were inspiring, is maybe the word. And they were singing as they went through, and we were quite half. Some of the boys saluted them. I don't know. I didn't salute them, but
So these weren't like the prisoners that you'd seen before.
These were the occupation, the German army of occupation in Denmark.
And they were under discipline.
They were disciplined, yes.
And just another point, the displaced persons camp.
Oh, Hogel. That was the name of the place.
Hogel?
Hogel. H-O-G-E-L, I think it was called.
Well, does it have anything to do with that?
Yeah, there was a fortnight duties on that. You took your tank as a weapon, and you occupied a house in this village that was filled with displaced persons, Russians, Polish, Czechs, French. There was all different kinds of people, and your job was mainly to look after them, so not and see that they didn't misbehave, you know. And some of them had made a type of schnapps from potato peelings and whatnot, and they got drunk. It was pretty potent stuff. They got drunk, and you had a block of houses in there that were for unmarried women, and a block of houses for unmarried men. Keeping the two apart was quite
so you were essentially on guard duties.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, chaperones or something.
And was there much trouble?
No, just you had to sort them out. You had to go in sometimes and drag men out of the women's quarters and drag women out of the men's quarters. So that was more or less what you had to do.
What condition were they in? They
weren't too bad, no.
They weren't starved, or?
No. We had one occasion where we got some of our chaps who had stole pipes, some of the band that we had stole some of the pipes. Obviously, they were in HQ trucks during the whole campaign, and they came up, and one or two of the chaps were very good at Highland dancing, and we put boards down, and we had all the displaced persons were assembled, and we put on a Scottish show, and Highland dancing and everything, and the Russians, they put on a marvellous show. And some of them were very good singers, the Russians. So we had quite an entertaining night, that particular night. Another thing about Hogel was, we got three or four Hitler Youth boys to be artists sort of servants to us. And they were excellent. I mean, you got your boots cleaned, and you got tea in the morning in bed and everything. Oh, it's marvellous. The boys, they seemed to want to please us, you know. They were quite nice lads, really. And remember, the mayor was still in the village. He lived in the house next door, and his daughter was an excellent cook, and we used to get our rations up, you know, chunks of beef and things for this thing. And she used to provide us with excellent dishes for our meals.
Now, another thing was, the question, you lost a lot of people who went off to the first Fife and Four Fires.
Yes.
Now, you weren't one of them, were you? You stayed behind. What?
Well, my demob number was fairly low. I was not very far from the beginning. So I wasn't considered as, you know, good enough. There was still a war on, you see, the Japs were still, and they were still thinking in terms of assembling fighting men that had been in action in that, to go to fight the Japs. They hadn't, it wasn't a complete finish from the war.
How did you and other people feel about the prospect of that? I mean,
well, we didn't think much of it. We were, at that stage, we were so near getting back to civilian life that we didn't want anything to stop it. That was one thing. Now, it was all the younger people 19 and 20 and that were picked for that.
Now, what about non-fraternisation and how you got on with the Germans?
It was fairly lax in Bread Street. Quite a lot of the boys went out and disappeared into the woods and that. We all knew what they were up to. And Georgie Lodge, same Georgie Lodge, he had a girlfriend who claimed that she was a Pole, that she spoke excellent German. And she used to turn up every night at the back fence in the house where we lived and shout on them. And she only had two words of English that she shouted, and it was, all right. So we heard that nearly every night, and there's Georgie away on his.
Were they Germans friendly, the civilians? The ones you saw?
They were a bit subdued, really. But there was an occasion when, I think it was the second of man, I can't even recall his name, but he was a bit of an impresario in the civilian life. And he organised a choir, and they were to put on, actually it was Finlandia, the name of the thing they were doing. And We got on very well, but...
Were you in it, this choir?
Well, I was a tenor, I was there, yeah. And we put it on this show on the church and invited the civilians to come, and we got a full house. I can remember the church. It was a very old Lutheran, is that the word, church? And the organ had to be pumped, you know, with the bells, so we had to employ a man to do that. And during the middle of the chorus or something, I think it might have been Andy Mayer's. He must have fallen asleep because the organ suddenly stopped and it kind of messed up the thing until you started pumping again. And it was a civilian lady that was the organist, and she was very good. I can remember we were all captivated by her smile. She was a very nice smile, anyway. That was it, and I was impressed by in the church they had commemorative streamers of all the men in Breadstead that had been killed in the war, and there was a lot. And you know, it was, when you looked at it, you realised that they suffered quite a lot of war dead in such a small place. Apart from that, I think the flat ban was almost relaxed entirely by the time it was lifted.
What about other things that you did? What about was much sport going on?
Yeah, we played a sort of handball, like volleyball, and things like that. We had PT in the morning, but it wasn't. It was very poor. Of course, we were slowly getting rid of the tanks by then. They were in the tank park. But they were all still there when Vera Lynn was popular. And very often the officers would wonder why the billets were all empty and the town was, the place was deserted. And the reason was that it was 3 o'clock and Vera Lynn had come on, and everybody went up to the tank park to turn on the radio was to BBC to get Vera Lynn. That happened most afternoons, I think, during the week.
What about these trips to the islands? They had some holiday islands.
You got 3 days or something. You went across in a nice boat and you lived.
Which island did you go to? Which island did you go to?
Four. F-O-R-E was the name of it. It was a nice little place, lovely beaches. The food was fairly very good there as well. Yeah, it was a good break, enjoyed it.
Anything else about
you? Yeah, we went to Flensburg from there. Got trucks to go to Flensburg, which is a bigger town, and it was on the border.
Near Bredston.
Very near Denmark, on the border. It was a submarine place, I think, during the war. Anyway, the black market was tremendous there, and if you had any cigarettes or anything, bucksheet to sell, that's where you went. You got money. You got lots of money for it. But one chap who was in business in Dundee, and he was our squadron clerk, and he had a racket going and he must have made lots of money with cigarettes. And also, when you went home, when you got a leave and went home, instead of getting money, you got postal orders. So that you just got postal orders to save you handling money and having to exchange it when you left Cali or wherever you were. And I think what he was doing in the squadron office was he was paying the men out money, keeping their postal orders, or doing something like that. And he had probably gone home with umpteen postal orders to change when he got home, so I don't know.
Well, did you get involved in any minor stuff? Or?
Well, I went to Flensburg, but I couldn't really be bothered. I wasn't interested in accumulating money. I was more interested in just enjoying what I was doing there and then getting home at the end of it. That's all. That was mostly what I was. And I never had any real desire to be bothered with money. The black market, there was a lot of funny looking people there that I thought I wouldn't trust him, you know, sort of thing.
What about demobilisation? Were you looking forward to it then?
I was, yeah. I was looking forward to it, yes. It was Sheffield? Up there somewhere.
What about the trip? Hang on, jumped ahead there. Are you still in Germany?
Yeah.
How did you get back? When were you sent back from Germany, from Bredston?
When was I demobbed? It must have been just before that. 15th of March, 46.
So when did you come back from Germany?
Two or three days before.
Because the regiment had broken up in January.
Yeah. Well, I must have been evacuated before then. I don't know.
You don't remember when you got back?
I don't remember. Probably was also happy about the whole thing.
What do you remember about the demobilisation?
Well, very simple, going through and getting exchanging your uniform for trousers, shoes and socks and everything, and this suit.
What did you think of the demob suit?
The one I thought was I used it quite a lot after been settled in at home. It was quite a good suit, but I didn't like the trilby hat. Didn't wear that. But I don't think the clothing in the bedroom was all that bad.
And what about your reception when you got home?
Well, unfortunately, when I got home, my mother was ill at the time, and being free, I did most of the to look after her for quite a while. So I never really enjoyed the first 2 or 3 weeks at home.